Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
This thing on? I think it's on. Hey, how are you? I'm Chris Mack. I found a guy to talk about this disaster with. Kaboom.
Yo.
We're on.
We're live.
We're live and in beautiful color across the social media scape. Yeah. Let's start with this. I know, like, I went out of my way to, in my limited graphic design skills, to come up with a cool-looking background for this and everything over the weekend, but we still have real jobs. Like, you're still, like, nothing's changing. I just say that because I know some people will get scared. They'll see me doing this, yeah. And they're like, oh, he's country music guy now. And I'll be like, yeah, I'm still country music guy in the afternoons on Y108. That's not going to change. But everybody knows I love sports, and I love to talk about sports. And, well, I've been doing that for the better part of the last 20 years, and you've been covering the Steelers for the better part of the last quarter century, and we figure, what the hell? Why don't we talk about it together? But then our conversations with each other are typically so entertaining, at least to us, that we figured, what the hell? Why not do it in front of everybody? And so that's when we said, hey, we should do that. We should make it a thing. And so this is the thing. Mark's still going to be obviously on the Pat McAfee show and on 93.7 The Fan. And I'm still obviously going to be on Y108 and the BetQL network. But now this is just a fun thing we're going to do where we also talk about Pittsburgh and sports and whatever the hell we feel like talking about a couple times a week for your entertainment, the dozens and dozens of viewers and listeners all over the social media scape. Does that sound about right, Kaboom? Did I describe that accurately?
Yeah, except for you forgot the WWE part of this. We'll be talking some wrestling.
Oh, absolutely.
And millions of fans.
The dozens and dozens of Cabali's fans.
Huh. So, almost, you know what, Matt? It just really stinks that we have nothing to talk about.
I was going to do the Cody Rhodes. So, Cabali,
you got the
list. What do you want to talk about?
I love you. No, I'm not going to go that far.
I love you, Mac. Go ahead. No, do it.
No,
do
no,
it.
No, no.
Do it.
Oh, no. I would love Solo. I'm not going to say that, man.
You're an OG Bloodline guy.
Considering you're about a couple blocks away from me, really, you want to come over and play the piano?
Yeah, no. I still am amazed. You know, you guys only moved into that house what, like a year ago, and the way you've got it furnished already is just
a piano.
Yeah, a grand piano back there. I mean, beautiful brickwork over the fireplace. And here I am, just hanging out in my basement like any other kind of blogger,
91 champs.
Well, the 91 champs. That's important to me, the Penguins. And then, look, 1979 Pittsburgh Steelers, baby, which feels like the last time they won a Super Bowl. I know it wasn't. All right, so let's start there. We've given it a couple minutes for a few hundred people to jump on here so they can watch and listen. Let's start there. I thought that after a little more than 36 hours. It's been about exactly 36 hours now that I would be past the emotional overreaction to all of this. But in the grand theme of your guy, Pat McAfee, it is overreaction Monday. So it's a lot of people are going to say it's an overreaction. But look, finally, the national media are jumping aboard what many people locally have said. I was a stalwart. I held out for a long time and believed that Mike Tomlin would turn it around here in Pittsburgh eventually. I don't know how. So there's two sides to this coin without rambling anymore. This was about a 9-win team everybody expected going into La Trobe in July, right? And they started 10-3, 4-2 with Justin Fields, in fact. And then they rip off 6-7 when Russ comes in. And it felt like sort of Mike Tomlin stamping an imprint saying, yeah, I kind of do know what the hell I'm doing, don't I? And then it all fell apart again, like it does in Mike Tomlin fashion in December and January. I mean, they are 15-18 in those 2 months over the last five seasons, Mark. And more importantly, we know they haven't won a playoff game since beating the Chiefs with 6 field goals in January of 2016.
Yes.
So what the hell happened? Let's start there. Before we get to what's next, what the hell happened?
Well, I think, honestly, I think they ran into some teams that are decidedly better than them. I mean, maybe we were fooled by the midway point of the season when they were beating up on the Giants and the Jets and right. teams of that ilk and even the Browns to a degree. We were all so, hey, this is the year. This is the year. Russell Wilson, which Mike Tomlin's getting over the hump. Then they run into that gauntlet of teams that would just prove to be too much. Too quick, too much, man. You have those 3 games in 11 days, and that's a lot to ask for anybody, but a team that's not as talented probably than we were expecting.
But look at the other 3. Hold on. Look at the other 3 teams that played 3 games in 11 days. They're all in the divisional round now.
But. The Ravens played the Giants, who lost 10 in a row, and they played who else did they play? And Texans were losing 4 of 7 at the time. There's not too many teams that could say they played Baltimore, Philly, and Kansas City within 11. That's too much to ask. A good team, let alone a team that was average. So I think that right there, that span there, put a ton of doubt in their mind. And like, maybe we're not that good. And it just went all downhill after that. And we saw what happened Saturday night.
So, okay, that's fair. And to be honest, I remember looking at the schedule way back in May when it came out and thinking, man, they're going to have to really win a lot of games early, which they did to their credit, to be in it down the stretch because they're going to get their asses handed to them in December. I fully expected that. And that's what happened. So maybe we need to adjust our expectations. But nonetheless, you get into the playoffs. And if you're a coach, and look, this is Mike Tomlin's strength, is motivating guys, knowing what buttons to push, all that kind of stuff. He may not be the best clock management guy. He may suck at challenges, all that kind of stuff. He knows what buttons to push, yet here we are again in January, and he didn't know what buttons to push. They collapsed last December, too. Granted, that was Kenny Pickett getting hurt, Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph and all that. But remember, a year ago, we're talking about them losing to the Cardinals and Patriots back-to-back at home. And then that collapse happened. So that's where the track record now of failure in December and January, regardless of who the opponents are, is getting to be too much for a guy who's always supposed to be plugged into the room and know what's going on.
Yeah, and there's really no place left to go right now. I mean, you've made wholesale changes across the organization over the past 3 years. From the, all the way from the training staff to the scouting staff to the coaching staff to players to quarterback rooms, everything's been changed, but there's been one constant. I mean, at one point, everything's pointing to one thing, and obviously we know what that is. That does not mean that Art Rooney sees it that way, but, Art's going to talk here probably in 3 or 4 weeks, Mac, and what he really hung his hat on last year was, hey, I like when my team gets better at the end of the season. It shows me something. They won those last 3 games last year when it really looked bleak. What are you going to say now?
Right. The last time they got better at the end of a season was when they missed the playoffs in 22, Pickett's rookie year. And they only got better, really, because they stopped asking Kenny to do too much down the stretch.
They won the last 3 last year with Mason to get into the playoffs when they probably didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. So there was at least Art could point, hey, we're on the right track here. I don't know what you say about this. I mean, there's not much left to do other than, which I can't anticipate Art Rooney doing, is going to Mike and saying, hey, man, you got power beyond anything.
He runs the place. He runs the joint. His last name might as well be Rooney. Let's just state it clearly. Like I had a buddy in Dallas, RJ Choppy, who does the morning show down there on the Fan of Dallas, say, how much power does Mike really have?
And I
basically said, and he asked about personnel decisions, because I don't know if you saw it or not. I tweeted it yesterday. Jimmy Johnson on the Fox pregame show said the Cowboys and Steelers should just swap coaches. Which is that hilarious.
Then he said Pittsburgh would love that. No, they wouldn't.
No. So down in Dallas, like for at least a 12-hour period, I think they were in the midst of like salivating over the idea of Mike Tomlin. And I basically told him, no, that would never work because Jerry's the personnel guy there. Mike's the personnel guy. I mean, the top two-thirds of the roster, Mike is directly involved with deciding that those guys are on the team, right? And then, you know, Omar and Andy kind of serve as an advisory board, more or less. They handle the cap and things like that. And here's what we think of this player. And then Mike decides what to do. I don't see a world where if Mike Tomlin is sticking around, like you said, they're actually going to be able to wrest that control away from him.
I think it's a good plan, though. I mean, if I'm the head coach, I want to, you know, Bill Parcells, I want to shop for the groceries.
Right.
But when it stops working is when you have to say, whoa, what's going on here? You're choosing everything. You're choosing players. You're choosing draft picks. You're choosing absolutely everything. And now it's not working. You wanted Russell Wilson. You wanted to sign all these guys, Patrick Queen and whatnot. It was basically put on your desk to say yay or nay. Now that's not working. Now where do you go? I would say the only thing that Mike Tomlin does not have his finger directly on is some of these practice squad guys they bring in during the year just in case. Like, whatever, go get somebody just in case, bring him in. I won't be surprised if that's run by him as well. So I don't really fault them for having that mindset. Until it doesn't work, then you can criticize all you want. And right now, it's not working.
Okay, so let's go through the who, what, when, where, high. Let's why of this. Let's go back to journalism school, right? Like who, what, when, where, why, and how. And if we say what caused this, okay, I'll start there. Okay, let's chalk it up to the schedule because that's going to be like you said, Art Rooney's excuse. That's what Mike Tomlin's going to say was a big part of it. Oh well, look at the teams we played; they're all in the tournament; they're still alive. Okay. Fair enough. Right. You ran into a buzzsaw with the schedule at the end of the year. Fine. And how did it happen then? How did the offense, how did Russ turn into a pumpkin? And this is probably more important than the offense, right? Because I think Russ had probably the best 7-game stretch of his career since he left Seattle in the middle of the season. The bigger question is, how the hell did the defense fall apart? I get it, injuries to Jackson and Elliott at a certain point in December. Peasy gets steamrolled by Derrick Henry in that game too, and he misses some time. But, like, you've got Cam, who played his ass off this year and is a future Hall of Famer. You got T.J. Watt, who didn't look that great the last month of the season but is a future Hall of Famer. You got Minka, who, I'll be honest, looked just disengaged and disinterested at times on Saturday night. Those three guys alone are enough for the foundation of a defense. And I think they got a lot of decent pieces around them. Young guys, Herbig, Wilson, Highsmith. And yet still, this defense, as well-paid as it is, as talented as it is, they just burnt to the ground in December.
And you got to throw Patrick Queen in there too. I mean, probably wasn't he the highest-paid free agent that they ever brought in?
And look, I don't have a problem with Patrick Queen. I love the signing when it happened. Yeah. But how does the defense, when the head coach has – how often do we look over to the sidelines when you're watching a game, and what's Mike Tomlin have in front of his face? He's got the play-calling chart, right, for defense. Yeah. And he's calling the plays on defense. Yeah. So how the hell does that fall apart? That's on him, right?
Well, I'm not too worried about the play-calling during the game more than I'm worried about the scheme leading up to it. How much does he have involved in that? I think it's a lot. I mean, I think we saw that in Hard Knocks, man. He's in it. He's in it knees deep, man. Putting together a scheme here, and when that scheme doesn't work, you look at the defensive coordinator, and I have a bad feeling that Terrell Austin is going to be the scapegoat here, but we know who's running this defense. We know who's putting it together, and for it not to work, and for it to be so bad against the Ravens when they allowed this to happen over and over. It was like elementary offense, Mac. I mean, it was read option. The outside linebacker took the pitch guy, and Lamar pulled it and ran for 8 yards over and over and over again.
15 plays in a row at one point. Not all read option, but like 15 plays in a row. They just steamrolled him. Like, at what point do you not yell into Patrick Queen's helmet? He's the green dot, right? Yell into Patrick Queen's helmet something about adjusting for the read option or just call a timeout. Jeez, we've seen this team burn timeouts at stupid times enough in the past. Call a timeout. Bring everyone over to the sideline and say, hey, do you remember how to play the read option from high school? That's what we're doing now.
Minka was part of that too, but Minka's tough because he has to worry about him pulling that read option and throwing the ball as well. I mean, it's unacceptable. If you look at the issues with this team, and you, like you said about Russell, I don't think Russell played that terrible over the past stretch. Could he have been better? Yeah. But I have to look at the defense. This defense is absolutely – I mean, you can't give up 90, 85, 90-yard drives. You can't give up 22-play drives to end games against the Eagles. You just can't get up and down the field on the Chiefs like that. This isn't your run-of-the-mill defense. This is a $150, $160 million defense. That's
right.
Pro Bowlers and all pros on every single level. And even their secondary people, like you mentioned, are good ball players. I mean, that's where the huge failure was to me in this streak of bad play. I think the defense was just awful.
Okay, so if the who, the what, and the how are all Mike Tomlin and his defense, right? And this is what's leading me to finally turn on a Hall of Fame head coach after 18 years because I've fought against it. And I get real tired of, like, the lazy narrative of, oh, fire the coach, fire the coach. We got to fire the coach, trade the coach. Look, it's still the Steelers, right? And so I've understood for a long time that they were going to give this as much time as they could to get right, and I get they probably still will, which we'll get into in a second. But if the who, how, what, and why are all Mike Tomlin didn't have this team prepared and or ready down the stretch, then the when is it going to change? Like, it's not going to – we all almost universally agree, right, and understand that it's not really going to change this offseason.
No. I mean, where are you going to change?
This feels like 1991 Chuck Knoll. We were kids, but you remember that? How they were, they got absolute, what were they, 6-10 in 1990 or something like that?
How much talent they had then. They have talent on this team, right?
You know what? That's the indictment, really. But it feels like it in so much as they're going to go to him and be like, hey, yeah, you got to overhaul your staff and give us a lot more power. And he's going to be like, you know what? I don't like that.
Well, either way, problem solved, right?
Is it solved? I mean, is that the solution? Take all the power away from Mike Tomlin other than giving great speeches on Wednesday morning and Sunday afternoon. and that's it, right? Like, he becomes, I don't want to say a figurehead. He'd still be really important and involved in things. But, like, you hire better coordinators. Let them do their jobs. Let the personnel guys dictate to you who's going to be on the roster. That's why I say I can't see a world where Mike Tomlin goes for that when he can go off. He could take a year, sit on a beach somewhere, and then make $25 million a year doing TV, make twice as much as he's making now.
Let me ask you this. Do you think if there was not the public perception of three coaches in 50 years, a team that doesn't, you know, stability, they embrace stability, that it would be easier to move on from him? Do you think Art Rooney is caught up in that to a degree where he's...
Yes, Art wants to be his dad.
Art
wants to be his dad. And I don't blame him for that. His dad was an incredible man. He was the best. Dan Rooney was the best, man. He was. At being a person, at managing a football team, at an organization, all of that. Mm-hmm. Hell, he may be the best damn ambassador to Ireland in the history of the world, for all I know, too. But... he was just so damn good at everything he did, including being a person. So I totally understand looking up to his father and wanting to be what his father was. Totally get that. But, like, at a certain point, you're not him. Yeah. And so stop trying to replicate what he did and understand that holding on to the same coach for two decades isn't the answer.
Yeah, I still think if that wasn't the case, if it didn't have that much success over the past 50 years, and you hear the narrative, like, how stable this franchise is, that there would be a more likelihood that they would move on and he would be willing to make a change, because I mean, we all know the stats, no playoff wins. Mm-hmm. By the way, on Tuesday is the 8-year anniversary. You're going to have a party, get some cupcakes for their last playoff victory.
Alex Smith cupcakes.
Yeah. Get some Chris Boswell field goal cupcakes or something on that one. So we know the history of not winning. I mean, what other job would allow that to happen?
None.
Or Steelers.
None.
But saying that, I'm not saying that he's a terrible coach and he can't turn this around, but how long do you wait?
Nobody's saying he's a terrible – well, a lot of people say that. I shouldn't say it. I don't think anybody who's mostly sane is saying that Mike Tomlin's a terrible coach. He's not. He's a great football coach. He is. The dude loves football, and he loves coaching it. It's just passed him by in this scenario. It has. He's become an old ball coach who just kind of rests on the same tried and true things that worked for him 15, 20 years ago. And so he's not showing a great desire to change or an ability to adapt. And that's why we get the same thing for the last 8-9 years now. So
I just don't, I mean, you're exhausted about every single avenue. And once there's nothing left, where do you go? Do you just keep doing it? Because I think there's not many streets open, man. They're all covered in snow right now. There's only one.
You live in that fancy new neighborhood. Look at that house behind you. You live in that fancy new neighborhood with private snow plows, man. Your roads are nice and clear.
I have yet to even.
Who are you bullshitting?
I have yet to even shovel my driveway. I didn't realize the driveway was that long.
You didn't shovel it at all this week?
I did once, and it came back. Then I tried the old leaf blower thing, the lazy leaf blower. Jesus. But then it got packed down by then. Then I said, well, Mother Nature will do its job eventually.
But it didn't. It's been frozen for like 5 days.
I know. I don't have much
of an ice out there.
Right now. I don't have much of an option right now. It's supposed to be 18 degrees on Tuesday. I'm not going out there with a jackhammer.
There's enough kids running around the neighborhood.
Yeah, they're all slicks.
None of them want to make money. You think how cheap that would be. Give a kid. My kid went down the street and shoveled a driveway for $6 the other day. He did a shitty job, but he still did it. I mean, find some kids and hand them a five and let
a five. What are you living in, the '80s?
Dude, if they're 6 years old, $5 is like $1 million to them.
I don't know. The Tooth Fairy just brought the kid $10. That's it. I used to get 10 cents.
Yeah, well, you grew up in the Mon Valley, too. So,
Baldwin.
The Tooth Fairy was working on the Tooth Fairy worked on a budget in North Baldwin, too. Don't give me that crap. Well,
the Tooth Fairy used to bring me some government cheese.
Why the picture of the government cheese the other night?
I just ran across that. I love the government cheese.
Where did you see that?
I don't know. I probably stole it from somebody on Facebook or something. I don't even know if they do that government cheese anymore. Like
that brown carton.
Oh, that was spectacular stuff. Used to melt that on some nachos and stuff.
Liar! That shit didn't melt.
Do they even do that government cheese anymore?
I don't know. Somebody could let us know in the comments.
And you have to pronounce it government
cheese. Yeah. Okay. So. Here's what we've established. Tomlin's the root cause of most of the issues, right?
Yeah.
And yet we still don't expect things to really change. Unless Art Rooney finally sits down and has a really difficult conversation and says, Mike, you got to hand a lot of power back to Omar and your assistants, and you got to just be there to facilitate, bud. But we don't expect that to happen.
Why would he do that? Why would Mike do that? Okay, sure.
Exactly. So, okay. So if they tell Mike that, then Mike's like, you know what? I think I'm good. I'll go make 20 mil a year doing TV and working a third as much. I mean, do you think he has any interest in that? I never thought he did, but like the amount of money he could make doing TV is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he's interested. I mean, everything you see from him, he is what he is. He calls himself the ball coach. He lives and dies coaching football. That's all he's done for his career. I can't see him going, to a studio and sitting next to Gronk.
Could you see him sitting around for 3 years and getting paid though for doing nothing?
I can't see that either. But I don't know how I don't know how pro contracts work, coaches' contracts. I mean, in the NFL, I think you're allowed to double dip once, maybe. But for the most part, if somebody else signs you, then they have to pay part of it. I don't think that's like that in coaching contracts. It's just like a normal contract. If they fire you, it's probably a guaranteed contract. You're getting that, what, was he getting 16 a year, according to some publications?
That's, yeah. So
that's just big chunk there, and you can go over and coach it. I don't know, Carolina, wherever he wants to go, Chicago, and get another chunk in the other pocket.
I was going to say, if you're the Bears or the Jets, though, like, you're willing to pay that and then some, I think, because that's the opinion of Mike Tomlin around the rest of the league. I mean, people will pay him whatever. Like, it's a blank check, basically.
Yeah, I mean, so, if you're the Jets or the Bears, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, because you've been a disaster for decades now, whereas the Steelers have only been not an entire disaster, but a half disaster for going on a decade now. So, if we work through who, what, when, how, why, the where would be, where do they look for answers then? Like, so let's say Art Rooney sits down with Mike Tomlin and says, Mike, it hasn't worked and it's not working. We need to change things. You need to give some power back to Omar and the personnel department. You need to give some power back to your coordinators. Who are they hiring? Like, are they, again, I have a hard time believing that Mike Tomlin is the kind of head football coach who's excited about going out and hiring some 32-year-old whiz kid offensive coordinator.
My personal opinion, I think the whole coaching tree is just garbage. I mean, what does that mean, coaching tree? I mean, just because you go be a coach somewhere else and fell, like 90% of them do, that means you're a good hiring of coaches. I mean, I just don't get it. He just has a philosophy of, for the most part of his career, he liked elder coaches, you know, ones that's been there, done that type of situation. He hasn't really gotten into the younger guys until a little bit recently with guys like Azani and Arth and even Aaron Curry at middle linebacker.
Did you just call him Arth?
Arth.
Does anybody call him that?
I don't know. He's from Cleveland, so it doesn't matter.
Arth?
No. The quarterback coach I'm talking about.
Tom Arth. I thought you were talking about Artie Smith. I was like, who the hell calls him Arth?
Artie Smith. That's another thing. I don't know. I mean, to me, from the outside looking in, it looks like Artie Smith didn't exactly have full control over what he wanted to do offensively, which is an issue.
I mean, there's two sides to that coin. One, how creative has an Arthur Smith offense ever really been? And number two, how creative could he get with Russ tap dancing back there? And I know you said Russ didn't play terribly down the stretch, but like he didn't play terrible. But like all the things that were working for him, maybe it's the offensive line, maybe that's the issue. But all the things that were working for him, he tap danced back there. Like I remember my daughter's like 5-year-old ballet show. There was better tap dancing. Russ is jumping around back there, and he's moving, and he's throwing off balance. Like what?
Well, he is 5'8" and trying to find some lanes to throw it. Yeah. However, what do you think Russell Wilson would have been like just picking him up, putting him in Minnesota this year with Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, Aaron Jones, and Kevin O'Connor or whatever his name is, coach calling the plays? How do you think Russell would have been? How do you think he would be viewed right now?
I mean,
probably a lot better than he is in Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah, I mean, look at the weapons he has to work with. Well, look at the creativity of the offense.
The Steelers didn't have a ton of weapons. So, it's all relevant.
So, let's go that direction. And I know you got to get down there to the locker room where you'll probably get scintillating commentary from people like George Pickens, who will have absolutely nothing to say, assuming he talks to you guys anymore.
Man.
So, is he back next year? Like you talk about how the Steelers stay the course. The Steelers stay the course and come back in July with Mike Tomlin as the head coach. the same coordinators, or maybe, like you said, Terrell Austin bites the bullet for the defense and they bring somebody else in, but basically the same coaching staff, and bring Russ back, or even if it's Fields, and bring Pickens back. Like, I don't think people are much more ready for the nuclear option here, Kaboom. And like, Pickens clearly does not seem all that interested in making it work. When somebody asks you if you have any hope going forward for the continued growth of the offense, and your response is, nah. Like, he's... I mean,
there's a 50-50 chance he even knew what the word meant.
Optimism?
Or anything.
Careful, people that run astray of George Pickens they end up in the doghouse.
Hey, he's a talented individual, and I'm shocked that he even came to the podium to even talk the other day, which was strange in itself. I don't know what you do with him. I mean, you find yourself in that same position, Mac. I'm telling you, man. What do you do? You dump him, good. Okay, we got rid of a cancer, a guy that doesn't want to be here, a guy that doesn't work hard, all the narrative you hear from even national folks right now. But then what do you got? What do you have?
Nothing. Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin. Like, oh, no offense to either one of those guys. Okay, so Calvin Austin.
Well, there's one benefit here. You can go through free agency, and where Mike Tomlin is still very good at is figuring out, trying to – well, getting people that shouldn't probably come here to Pittsburgh to come here to Pittsburgh.
We're taking the personnel decisions out of his hands. I know. We're giving it back to him so guys can come in. Oh,
my God. Well, personally, you don't have to be a genius X and O's guy to figure out T. Higgins would be a nice fit anywhere. So if T. Higgins, why would he come here? Well, Mike Tomlin's probably the only reason why he would come here, right?
Yeah, he's not coming here because he's seen their recent history of newly acquired wide receivers, Mike
Williams. I want to play for Mike Tomlin. That's how a lot of these players are. See, but what I'm saying is, if that happens and you're able to lure somebody in here, then you go to the draft. And you're like, okay, what do we need now? Oh, we need a quarterback maybe? I'm just hypothetically throwing things against the wall here. George Pickens, let's throw you to Minnesota for your first or somewhere.
Anywhere.
Where we can move up and get a quarterback. Maybe that's the plan. But we won't know this.
Threefold response to that. One, I don't think anybody's trading a first-round pick for George Pickens, given the way he acted down the stretch and his performance. Like, in particular, like the Cincy game. How many footballs went through his hands? And they see his attitude when things aren't going well. He's trying to fight people in the stands.
Yeah, half the people yanked him off the board before they would even draft him. So
that's not two. Do we trust this team to draft a quarterback in the first round, even though we know that's what's necessary at this point? And then three, does the guys want to play for Mike Tomlin thing really hold as much power as it used to? Like, when you see a head coach who's getting questioned in your local market is one thing. Everybody gets questioned in the city that they play in. But now the dogs are out nationally. Everybody, I mean, Kyle freaking Brandt, who's like the most positive human on earth, is questioning Mike Tomlin. Like, people are questioning Mike Tomlin on a national level, wondering if he's still got it. If I'm T. Higgins, do I want to go there and play for Mike Tomlin in an offense where we're going to average 18 points a week? Or I'll go someplace with a younger quarterback, a more creative offensive coordinator than Artie Smith, and a head coach who may have just as good a reputation.
First of all, he'd have to be compensated well, right? And second of all, don't underestimate how convincing Mike Tomlin still is. He can convince you to run through the wall, man.
You're right, because I watched Hard Knocks too, and I think I tweeted after the first episode, I want to run through a wall for this guy right now.
Yeah.
But that's part of the problem. He's so damn convincing. You know what's going to happen when this brings us full circle. You know what's going to happen when he sits down with Art. He's going to convince Art that it was just a tough schedule, and he's going to have the boys ready next year, and we're going to fire it back up, and this is the year. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you find yourself the way I look at it too is it's like, okay, let's blow it up. I wonder how the city would react to three straight 5-win seasons.
It'd be rough for a couple years.
Do you think it'd be like, we should have never got rid of Tomlin? I don't know. I don't know the
No. Well, look, people's level of patience is much shorter now, but I'll reference the mid to late 80s again when we were both kids. You remember how bad it was for a couple years, right? Like, we got excited when Gary Anderson was the best player on the team for a little while. Gary Anderson. And like, I remember getting super excited when he kicked a field goal and they beat the Oilers like 13-10 in a wild card game or something down in the Astrodome. That was the height. Yeah. And then Tim Worley fumbled in Denver.
Oh, that's Merle Hodge, man. Don't be blaming Tim Worley.
Who had the football in their hands?
I thought Merle Hodge fumbled.
No, it was Worley that fumbled. I remember it like I remember Jose Lean booting the ball in 92 against the Braves in Atlanta. Trust me, it was Tim Worley. Anyway. But like to my point, like it was a rough couple years. Like I remember being a little kid wondering, like just coming around to understanding football. Like this is the Steelers that everybody told me about when I was like, I'm 8 years old hearing about, you know, Mel Blount and Donnie Shell and Joe Green. And I'm like, this is the Steelers?
Yeah.
Because I was born in the fall of 1979. I never got to witness it. And then they weren't all that great. So people still love the Steelers, Mark. Like they could go 5-12 for three straight years. People aren't walking away from this team. In fact, I think it would give people some hope that, hey, Art is willing to take it down to the studs and start over again. Because like you mentioned, and I heard you mention this with Crowley and Doran this morning on The Fan. You talked about how little Danny, he's not little anymore, he's a grown-ass man, but Danny Rooney is around a lot, right? And maybe Tomlin's departure when his contract is up in 27 aligns with Art handing control off to Danny. How about this? How about Art gets things in a good spot to hand it off to Danny in a few years?
Kevin Colbert thought he was doing that too, right? When he left.
Fair. But I mean, if
we got you your quarterback, okay, now I can retire. So how did that work out?
Yeah, it didn't. But I think if you're Art Rooney, like get things back to where they need to be. Get someone in here who can lay a new foundation. You want to keep that guy around for 20 years? Fine. Let's have at it. But lay the foundation for the next couple of years. Build this thing back up. Tear it down to the studs. Build it back up. And then hand it off to Danny.
You know what, Mac? First of all, real quick, I got to get a shout out to our first comment on the old
podcast. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Mixstar.
Woo, we're going to get you your big prize out to you. Absolutely nothing, but we appreciate you.
Come on, you can't get him like a leftover McAfee t-shirt or something?
I don't think he wants a 3XL, man.
Could make a blanket out of it. I don't know.
I get him a hat. My head's too big for the hat. It looks like a beanie if I'm for the brand hat. But I digress. I don't even know what you were talking about.
I was talking about Danny Rooney finally taking control from.
They're keeping that so close to the vest. I mean, it could happen next year. It could happen 15 years from now. So I have no idea when that happens. But you would think that he would not have at least the ties and the loyalty, the unwavering loyalty to Mike Tomlin than Art does.
At the very least would have a willingness to work towards getting it back to what it's expected to be. Like you're one of the few keystone franchises in the league, right? That can claim it's always looking to contend to win a Super Bowl. Maybe you got to take a step back or two steps back before you can take the step back into that realm and actually belong to that conversation.
I mean, Art said this a number of times. They're not interested in taking that step back. They want to he would take 10-7 playoffs with a chance to, you know, win playoff games, even if they haven't had a chance in the past six times, than over 5-12 every
year. Here's the problem with that.
Every single year.
If they keep going 10-7 and getting their asses handed to them in the wild card, that's going to drive more people away. And look, I know there's always people lined up to buy tickets, right? And it's the NFL. Everything's predicated on TV money anyway. But that's going to drive more fans away than 3 5-win seasons, like you mentioned. Three more 10-7 seasons getting squashed in the wild card each year is going to drive more people away than 3, 5, and 12 years would, and a couple and three straight top 10 picks.
You know what I think would drive people away if it was any other team in the city that actually won? We're sitting here, we'll be talking about the Steelers and their failures for the next 6 months rather than talking about the teams that are winning. Maybe these other teams start winning, people start forgetting about the Steelers, right? I mean, I don't know. I think at this point right now, they're still so popular, even if they are 10-7. We're just going to sit here and hammer them, Steelers forever, because that's what we've grown up with.
Yeah, we're not in a good spot with the – well, the Pens didn't look bad last night for what it's worth. They lost, I know. But they had that little run between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
We got Penn State losing.
Thanks for reminding.
We got Pitt basketball losing 2 in a row, Pens losing 6 out of 7, Steelers 5 in a row, Pitt football 6 in a row. Yay! Hey, at least we got the Buccos.
We got Skeens every 5 days. That's what we got.
Kaboom. 2 years.
So it's not Pittsburgh related, but second edition of Raw on Netflix tonight. What do you think of the first edition? Do you think Punk and Rollins really hate each other as much as Rollins lets on?
I think so. I think maybe not to that degree, but I'm sure there's some dislike there. Absolutely. I mean, last week was just a, you know, slap each other on the rear end type of show. It was worth it. It was nostalgia. It was looking back. It was a new era.
Don't call the Hulkster, brother.
Yeah, let's bring out Hulkster straight from the RNC to LA. That might not work. But I think this week today will be more of what we're more than used to, you know, more wrestling.
More than five matches?
More than, you know, hey, look who's in the crowd type of thing, which I thought, I mean, the production of that show last week was just off the charts.
Oh, it was like a pay-per-view. Sorry, PLE, premium live event. I got to use the right terminology.
Everything. I mean, even the clarity of the picture. What is it, like 47K now? I don't know, maybe 8K. It was spectacularly done. I think they'll get back more to their bread and butter of what it's going to look like on Netflix moving forward this tonight.
Just do me a favor, and I look, as much as I love Tiffany Stratton, I don't need a Tiffy time text every time she hits the screen.
Because I
was trying to pay attention to the Ohio State Texas game. And then I get a Tiffy time text and I'm like, God damn it, Kabali.
And you
now No, I didn't. I had to stay up after the football game and watch a 3-hour SmackDown so I could see if there were any Tiffany Stratton wardrobe malfunctions.
I wouldn't even have known you enjoyed her presence unless that one text that I cannot read out loud that you sent me one time.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I mean, I don't need Tiffy time spoilers in the middle of a show, okay? Can you remember that for Friday nights?
It's Tiffy time, baby.
It is Tiffy time.
It's her time.
Real quick, before I let you run, because like I said, it's locker cleanout day and you got to go in a minute. What do you think we hear? Do you think we get anything worthwhile from anybody down there today?
You know, last year was surprising about the number of people have talked. I don't know how this season has went media wise and availability. I could just see us sitting there talking to Miles Killebrew and Christian Kuntz.
Christian's a good dude.
Oh, I love Christian. He's Tyler Matakiewicz and stuff. I don't think Isaac Seumalo is coming to the podium anytime soon.
No.
Maybe Russ. I don't know.
Oh, Russ will go to the podium. Russ will talk for 15 minutes.
And say nothing.
He has no problem talking. No. None at all. And he'll talk about how much he loved it here.
I can pretty much guarantee that guys like Najee's not talking. Guys like George isn't talking. Who else? Guys like Minka.
Cam? I know Cam talked after the game, but Cam?
Cam would talk if he's around. I don't know their schedule. I mean, those guys at that point are in and out. So there's a 45-minute window where they know that we're there, so they might avoid the locker room. So I don't know. I'm sure there will be some guys there to talk, and I wouldn't anticipate anything earth-shattering. You know, it's going to be like, yay, we'll be back next year. This team is close type of stuff. It's not going to be like, yeah, this is just an absolute disaster and I want to quit football. I don't think it's going to be anything like that.
Well, yeah, without Pickens around, there's probably no new.
Yeah, now Tomlin will talk at some point, either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Not quite sure of that right now as of we speak. But I assume he'll come out with a very humble voice for some reason.
He's going to talk about toting the bags. And yeah, I mean, it's nothing's going to change. One more thing before I let you go. Look at the quarterbacks that are left. Allen, Jackson, Mahomes, Stroud on one side. Daniels, Hurts, Goff, and either Stafford or Darnold on the other side. Who's the quarterback for the Steelers next year that gets them to that level?
Aaron Rodgers.
Stop it. Stop it.
There's nobody out there, Mac. I mean, what do you want? You want to bring in Jameis Winston? You want to bring Daniel Jones? Do you want to bring in Joe Flacco? You can just go on and on and on. You want to bring in Kirk Cousins? I mean, what are we doing here? There is nobody out there as a difference maker, so you might as well stay status quo. Now, if it's with Russell, I would prefer it would be Russell, but if it's Justin, I understand. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's a terrible mistake. He's younger. He has a better chance of hitting a home run than, you know. You're going to have to get lucky, I think. And if you could turn Justin Fields into a top 10 pick that what he was, then maybe you could hit the lottery. So I would understand that. But unless you're going to make a trade up in the draft, unless you're going to get J.J. McCarthy,
no.
Just keep your stuff, man. Keep the guys you have. Start Kyle Allen. He might be the first guy signed to this free agency. Kyle Allen.
That's what we have to look forward to. It's a lot of positivity. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. So we should do this again later in the week after Tomlin talks and after you talk to everybody in the locker room. And I don't know how often we'll do this, but we'll do it occasionally. I think it's been wildly entertaining to the dozens and dozens of people that have tuned in. Actually, the little ticker up top on the screen says like 2,500 people. So thank you for tuning in. 2,500? Yeah, it's not bad. So for those of you...
come tickle the ivories, give me a call.
Yeah. I mean, next time Mark will play some Billy Joel songs by request on the piano.
I could do some Metallica, maybe.
You know, low-key... Metallica S&M, one they did with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, is one of my favorite albums of all time. And I know I'm old because I called it an album.
Album? Didn't they have the Call of Cthulhu on that one too?
Yes, right at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, baby. I don't know who Cthulhu is, but they sure gave him a good call. What the hell did they open up with? They open up all their shows with...
What the hell is that supposed to even be? The ecstasy of gold? Yes, is that what you're talking about?
Ecstasy of gold. I got you.
The fact that I even had it's only because I remember that being the first song at their show when they were at PNC Park. Yes. But like the fact that noise that you just made even clicked a synapse in my brain to say ecstasy of gold is bad. I think that's a sign we need to wrap it up for today. Go check things out down in the locker room.
Have some lunch. No, I don't think they're giving us lunch, so.
Got to save up for when they pay Tomlin to go.
I don't have to go take a protein bar out of the cafeteria when nobody's looking at me.
All right, let us know what happens down there. We'll look for you on the McAfee Show, WWE.com as well, and all over the Fan. And we'll do this again later in the week after Coach G talks.
All right.
I'll see you.